For those of you who are here, and also to those of you watching on Zoom. And firstly, a couple of apologies. So one, you may have come expecting to hear Reverend Alan Sharp preaching today, but that was altered a few weeks ago as he had to cancel. And Adrian had stepped in to fill the breach, so to speak. So you might have come along today expecting to see Adrian standing here to take today's service. But unfortunately, however, Adrian and Stephanie have both tested positive for COVID. So I'm delivering the service that Adrian had prepared for today. So that's one apology. And then the other is, as you probably will have noticed, we've decided to postpone communion. I felt that leading the service was enough new things for today. So enough of the apologies.
Yep.
Okay. And we are here to hear God's word. So let's begin by singing hymn number 443, Open Our Eyes, Lord. And I think we're going to sing through it twice.
We're muted.
So let us commend our time together this morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have brought us together this morning in Kingsthorpe, in this place, to worship you. We ask your blessing on those unable to worship with us today. And among others, we especially think of Adrian and Stephanie, who have tested positive for COVID, and also for Richard and Dawn. Richard has tested positive, we've heard today. So place your healing hands on them, Lord, and anyone else known to us who's struggling with their physical or mental health. And we also bring our thoughts and prayers to Terry and the Owen family on the passing of Joy. Please may they feel your comfort at this sad time. And we pray, Lord, that you might send your Holy Spirit among us. Help us to listen to your commands and to really hear what you are saying. Encourage us, speak to us, challenge us. And Lord, give us what we need today to enable us to come closer to you. And as we worship and praise you, may we get a real sense of your presence. And we ask all this in your name, Lord. Amen. Now, first reading today is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, which Lois will now read.
So then, my brothers and sisters, how dear you are to me, and how I miss you. How happy you make me, and how proud I am of you. This then, dear brothers and sisters, is how you should stand firm in your life in the Lord. Euodia and Syntyche, please, I beg you, try to agree as sisters in the Lord. And you too, my faithful partner, I want you to help these women, for they have worked hard with me to spread the gospel, together with Clement and all my other fellow workers, whose names are in God's book of the living. May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Show a gentle attitude towards everyone. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Put into practice what you learnt and received from me, both from my words and from my actions. And the God who gives us peace will be with you.
Thank you, Lois. So I wonder how many of you have ever had a hearing test? Anyone had a hearing test? I've had one. Okay, so a few of you.
Hello, Donald Burning.
But I wonder how many of you have ever had a listening test?
Sorry, I've got
that. However good your hearing is, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are a good listener, does it?
Hello.
No, your sense of hearing is a gift from God that you are born with. And the ability to really listen is something that we all must learn.
Sorry.
And as most of you know, my job is to counsel people who have difficulties in life. So part of my counseling training was about really listening or learning to really listen to people, to understand, really understand what life is like for many of them, for all of them.
Sorry.
So think about this.
Sorry,
you may hear some music playing, but if you really listen, you can hear the words. So you start to understand what was going on for the person who wrote that song originally. And hopefully the song or the music that you're listening to will fill your ears with joy. I'm sure there are some pieces of music that don't do that, but it might give you something else. So you may hear information, but if you really listen, that information can fill your mind with knowledge and you can go on to learn other things.
Are you still there?
And you may hear the crying of a friend or a neighbour, but if you really listen and start to understand their pain or their loss, their calls can fill your heart with caring. You may hear parts of the Bible being read out loud. But if you really listen, those Bible readings will fill you up with the love of God. Lois's reading a minute ago ended with us hearing that the God who gives us peace will be with you. What a beautiful sentence to hear. So as we go about our daily lives, let's all practice not just hearing, but listening. And if you do that, God will surely hear that you are one of Jesus' loyal followers doing the good work that is expected. So be sure to keep your ears open, but also your heart, to all the things God wants you to do. Did you hear what I just said? Have you been listening? So we now have our second hymn, and it's not a hymn that I'm that familiar with. I know we've sung it a couple of times in services, but when I look through the words, I particularly like the first part of the chorus, and I felt it was very apt for me today. It's "My tongue will be the pen of a ready writer." So I'm feeling that I'm not a brilliant writer, but hopefully I can speak and you will understand today. So I'm delivering what the writer Adrian has written. So we stand to sing hymn number 216, "I Hear the Sound of Rustling."
Take on the Before I lead us in the prayer of thanks, I'd just like to make two comments. And the first one is a really big thank you to Catherine to taking on the role of leading our service this morning. I think we all very much appreciate it. No more than myself when I found out in the middle of the week that Adrian wasn't able to be here. So, and the other thing is just to remind you that we're not at present passing a plate round for the offertory. There are plates at the front and rear of the church. If you wish to make a donation after the service, please do so. So we'll now have our prayer of thanks. And there is a response. When I say the words, "Let us bless the Lord," will you respond, "Thanks be to God"? Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us give thanks to God in prayer. For the love of our Father, the maker of all, the giver of all good things, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the world's beauty and changing seasons, and for the life we have been given, let us bless the Lord. Thanks
be to God.
For Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who lived and worked among us, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. For his suffering and death on the cross and his resurrection to new life, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the gifts of money given to this your church, and also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them all in this place and throughout the world to the furtherance of your kingdom. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now our Old Testament reading, which is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1 and verses 1 to 8. In this book are the words that Moses spoke to the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness east of the River Jordan. They were in the Jordan Valley near Suf, between the town of Paran on one side and the towns of Tifel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizarab on the other side. It takes 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea by way of the hill country of Eden. On the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year after they left Egypt, Moses told the people everything the Lord had commanded him to tell them. This was after the Lord had defeated King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in the town of Heshbon, and King Og of Bashan, who ruled in the towns of Abtarosh and Edrei. It was while the people were east of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, that Moses began to explain God's laws and teachings. He said, "When we're at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, 'You have strayed long enough in this mountain. Break camp and move on. Go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the surrounding regions, to the Jordan Valley, to the hill country and the lowlands, to the southern region, and also to the Mediterranean coast. Go to the land of Canaan and on beyond the Lebanon mountains, as far as the great river Euphrates. All of this is the land which I, the Lord, have promised to give to you and your ancestors, to Abram, Isaac, Jacob, and to all their descendants. Go and occupy it.'" Here ends our Old Testament reading. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Trevor. I don't know who Adrian was planning on asking to take that reading, but thank you. Thank you very much. So our message today is based around that passage, and Adrian has entitled it, Move Out and Move Forward. So as Trevor read from Deuteronomy, the Israelites had taken an 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, and it turned into a 40-year experience in the desert. They had been held back and detained by God himself. But one day, God said, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. It is time to move out and to move forward." And what we want to learn today is how to know when you've stayed at the mountain long enough and it is time to move out and move forward. So some of us may be stuck in some rut or other, and it is now time to move out and move forward. So what are the signs that it's time to move out and move forward? And Adrian has come up with 5 signs. So the first one being, it is time to move out and move forward when we are using our failures as an excuse for not trying again. And in verses 2-3, it says, it takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. And in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. So taking an 11-day journey and turning it into a 40-year desert experience could be classed as a failure. And it would have been so easy for the Israelites to say, "We haven't made it into the Promised Land these past 40 years, so why try now?" And in fact, they had found a place they could be comfortable near Mount Horeb. And so it would be easy to settle in and stay and not move forward. And isn't that interesting how we can find ourselves comfortable even in our failures? And some of us may have this exact problem. Our life hasn't turned out like we wanted, and we've just given up and settled for what we've got. God is telling the Israelites, and he's telling you and I this morning, to get up and move forward. Don't settle for not having the marriage or the relationship that you want. Work on moving forward in your marriage or your relationship. Don't settle for the job that you can't stand. Get up and move forward. Don't settle for being a mediocre Christian when God's goal for you is to be the best Christian you can be. God is telling you to move out and to move forward. So I wonder what area in your life do you perhaps need to move out and move forward? And sign number 2. It is time to move out and move forward when I know I have come too far to be stopped now. When Moses gave the speech we read today, all that separates the Israelites from the Promised Land is the Jordan River. Moses knew that they had come too far to be stopped now. And I'm sure we all know people who make it so, so near to the finishing line, but never quite make it across that line. They give up just a little bit too soon. But sometimes what carries you across that finishing line is the determination that I am going to finish what I start. It's a bit like on the TV program Mastermind. There's that little buzzer, and then I've started, so I'll finish. And the question continues. The Christian life is at best a struggle. And probably many times we have said that, well, I don't know why I keep on trying. It'd be so much easier to give up and live like my neighbours. But I know that one bright and shining morning, I am going to wake up on the other side of eternity. And God is going to tell me, good and faithful servant, you have finished the race. And that will mean everything to me. Have you gone too far to be stopped now? So the third sign that it might be time to move out and move forward is, it is time to move out and move forward when God says it is time to move out and move forward. And in verses 6-7, it states, the Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. So we must be ready when God tells us that it is time to move out and move forward. But many of us will have excuses why we can't go just right now. And we remember the parable of the banquet feast. One could not go because he bought a field and he had to go and see it. Another had bought 5 oxen and had to try them out. And the third said, well, I've just got married and I can't go. So sometimes we miss what God wants for us because when God calls, we are not ready. And sign number 4. It is time to move out and move forward, even when the challenges are still in place. And in verse 7, it says, break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Raba, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. So while the Israelites are 40 years in the wilderness, God never did anything to remove the challenges that lay ahead in the promised land. We would want to think, if I am over here in the wilderness waiting to go to the promised land, it is because God is over there clearing the path, so I will have an easy time when I move out. But God tells them that the people that were in that land that scared them away in the first place are still in that land. And we want to question God, what have you been doing for the last 40 years? The answer is simple. He has been preparing me. God doesn't always smooth out the road and tell us to move out and move forward. Sometimes he tells us to move out and move forward, even when the road ahead might be quite bumpy. So lastly then, sign number 5. I can move out and move forward when I have come to the place in my life that I totally trust in what God tells me. And in verse 8, it states, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. God has not changed his story one bit. The first time the Israelites reached the promised land, God told them that there would be enemies, that they must fight in order to take the land. 40 years later, when they are about to enter the promised land, God tells them that there are enemies still in the land. God didn't change. The people changed. Sometimes we don't move out and move forward because we haven't changed. God was waiting for them to change. So, in conclusion, what is the alternative to trusting God? For Israel, it was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, waiting for that day that God would tell them it is time to move out and move forward. In your life, where are you spending the time waiting for that day that God tells you to move out and move forward? Are you ready? If it was today. Amen. And now for our third hymn, and we stand to sing hymn number 111. We are building a people of power, and I think we're going to sing this through twice as well.
We now bring our prayers of intercession in the certain knowledge that God answers prayer when we bring him our requests. So let us pray. For our world, struggling with unrest, oppression, war, and fear. For the people of Ukraine, uncertain where to turn in order to find safety, security, freedom from terror and hurt. For their neighbours in nearby countries, also fearful and uncertain, but trying to offer help and places of refuge. Let us not forget the people of Afghanistan and their struggle for peace and justice as it continues. For the people of Syria, indeed, for the many countries of the world, where life is challenging far beyond our imagining. We pray for all who are unwell, anxious about test results, those who are coping with the death of someone close to them. Be with them and their families and friends who are doing their best to support them in practical ways and in keeping their spirits up. We pray for all struggling with finance and hardship. Be with workers who try to find ways to help those who simply cannot make ends meet. Be with those staffing our food banks and our food clubs. Be with our government. May the decisions that they make be right and just for everyone as they tackle the problem and the challenge of inequality. We pray for all who seek to help us. Medical staff, emergency services, frontline workers. Many working in areas that are understaffed, so they are always under pressure. Staff frustrated, exhausted, trying their best in impossible situations. We pray for leaders that they may lead with honesty and integrity for the good of all they lead. For those recently selected in local elections, for those who are experienced, and for those coming to these leadership roles for the first time. For all of us who have the opportunity to influence those in power, may we do our very best to bring the love of Jesus into all we say and do. We pray for friends we have spoken to or met this week, for whom life is especially difficult. May they feel your love surrounding and supporting them. And we take a moment now to name them silently in our hearts. When we pray for ourselves, may we be faithful servants, seeking your guidance and acting upon it at all times in this coming week. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. And now, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Lois, and thank you to both you and Trevor who have helped with the service today, and also to Phil and Paul, I think, probably, who stepped up and done the zooming and the sound. And also thanks for Janet playing, and to Andy and Barbara for doing the tea and coffee, because we're actually going to have tea and coffee after service today. So that's the point. We did have it last week because we had a church meeting, but this will be the first time we've had it since before COVID. So thank you for organising that. So if you can stay and share in time of fellowship, then please do. So as we leave with thoughts of God, perhaps telling us it's time to move out and move forward, we sing our last hymn, which is number 148, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We stand to sing. Thank you. So before we leave this place, Lord, we ask your blessing on us for the coming week. Be with us as we go about our daily lives, whatever that might be. But may we show through our actions and words that we have your love in our hearts, Lord. Please help us to hear your word and listen to how you want us to share your love in this community as we move forward. Amen. And now we share the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
of God,
Amen.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, hi, guys. Hello.
Hiya.
Thanks for the service.
Oh, that's all right. We weren't doing anything. We're watching it.
Oh, my God. I feel challenged today.
She feels challenged today.
You feel, yes. It was a very challenging message.
Yeah.
For a long while. That's really most of the places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I will look at all those emails.
Not to think about. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. But Daniel is not very well. Daniel has contracted the chicken pox. Yeah, it's going around. So, yeah. But yeah. All of us okay.
Good.
Well, Adrian did the service, but couldn't present it because we've got COVID.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
Well, it goes.
But Catherine did really well.
Yeah,
she delivered it well. Yeah. How are you feeling, Adrian?
Feeling good, getting better.
Yeah.
Lots of smell.
No, just a metallic taste in the mouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
And very tired. All keep sleeping.
Okay. Yeah. I'm wishing you a quick recovery.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's just having that lack of energy and
So many people there.
Yeah.